Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's broadcast originally set to air March 2nd and 3rd, year of our Lord 2025. It is good to have you along with us either this Sunday or Monday morning, whichever the case may be. We appreciate you spending this portion of time with us. We're in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to try to wrap up chapter 4 today. I just want to review just a moment. Last Sunday morning, we touched on a couple of stories. Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth. Jesus was raised in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. Former President Bill Clinton was born in Hope. He grew up in Hot Springs. And so it is very possible, many people have had this experience, that they were born in one place, but another area was what they would call their hometown. Jesus is no exception to this. It's not a contradiction in any way. And the people of Nazareth, they couldn't accept him. They said, this is the carpenter. How'd this guy learn all this? And we talked about the way that Jesus spoke and how Mark and how Matthew described his speech. And we're going to get to Luke's description today. But the two stories that Jesus brought to their attention were the stories of Elijah, which is found in 1 Kings 17, and how during a time of drought, he went to a widow woman and she and he were delivered there. And then in 2 Kings, the story of Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, and how that Elisha, the prophet, delivered him of his leprosy. And they didn't like it. They didn't want to hear about deliverance, and they didn't want to hear about how that Gentiles could be saved and this type thing, and they rejected Christ. And they would have destroyed him, but it was not his time. In fact, they were going to throw him off a cliff, basically. Verse 29 says, but in verse 30, it says, but he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, which would not have been too far away, but far enough that it wasn't his hometown, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine. They were amazed at his teaching, for his word was with power. And as I read that, I thought, well, you know, last week we speculated about Jesus and about, you know, how he spoke. And we don't, you know, we would imagine maybe the sound of his voice. I do believe his sheep will know his voice if we were to ever hear it. But when it says he spoke with power, now this is not like the guy that he came to a church and he was in the pastor's office and he found some notes from the former pastor. And in one of his sermons, it said, point weak, yell louder. And I don't think that's what we're talking about here. And in the years when I was growing up, you might have heard some pastors that would get loud. Most of them that ever stayed at our church for any length of time weren't like that. I'm not saying they never raised their voice. I'm not saying I never raised mine, but I don't as much as they did in former years. I have good friends who preach loudly, and I think, though, that the method of preaching, if you will, has changed a little bit over the years. And here again, this is no knock whatsoever on the guys that were before me. I respect them, appreciate them so much. We are a little bit more plain spoken now. Not only has our method of dress changed, but our method of address has changed, if you will. And I believe when it says that Jesus spoke with power, this was not the loudness, the pitch, if you will, of his voice. It was the weight of his words. I mean, he spoke words of undeniable truth. And when he talked to the people, he wasn't just talking. He wasn't just filling time to get to the end of the message and get on and get his check and get gone. I mean, he had something to say. He meant what he said. He said what he meant. And he had a message that could change lives, and I mean change lives for the better. Care to say, he was real. He understood the people. He understood the truth, the scripture, and he understood how to effectively communicate. And oh, my friends, not only for myself, but for the other pastors, especially in our area, that we would effectively communicate the truth. Now, I don't want them to do it as good as I do. And I'm joking a little bit there. We can let a little professional jealousy creep in if we're not careful. But friends, we should pray for each other that we would present the truth in a way that is undeniable. That the power of the message would be undeniable. Jesus spoke with power. I don't think he yelled. I don't think he screamed. I think he just taught the truth and they couldn't resist it. Now, the people at Nazareth had to react. I mean, it brought about a reaction. It wasn't a good one. They didn't receive him, but they couldn't deny it either. The people at Capernaum said, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. In verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil or a demon and cried out with a loud voice. Now, I could go down a road right there. I probably shouldn't. That the ones crying with a loud voice were he was possessed with the devil, but I won't put that on anybody. Because I might have a louder voice later on myself. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Oh, doesn't this sound like the book of James? The devils or the demons believe as much and tremble. They know Jesus is the Christ. Are you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, I'm going to just stop right here just a second. This is teaching. He's teaching with power. And here again, I don't think that means he's screaming. And let me say this. I have heard stories of Charles Spurgeon and other early American ministers, preachers, about the power of the sound of their voice, that you could hear them hundreds of feet away if they were speaking in an open field. God gave them that gift of a voice that would carry. And in our culture today, you know, we've got this electronic wonderment, invention, whatever you want to call it. There are people that can hear my voice right now halfway around the world. I mean, I don't know about our radio program, but we regularly have a man in Germany that watches our church program from New Hope Baptist Church. Friends, that's just amazing to me that we live in this time of technology. And, you know, I could right now, I could be hundreds of miles from you, or I could be sitting in the car next to you and listening myself, or, you know, surely I'd be listening to myself, not something else, right? Guys, it's unreal what technology can do for us. But still yet, we have people with great trouble, like this man with a demon. And I notice here that the Bible doesn't just necessarily say in particular what's wrong with this man. It's going to give us some more details in a few moments. The demons know who Jesus is that are in this man, or the demon. It's got to be bad enough just to have the devil inside you. I mean, it's got to be bad enough just to be demon-possessed. And, you know, there are those that would argue that maybe this is some type of mental illness. I don't know. But I know this man needs help. I believe this man wants help. And I believe Jesus has the power to give him that help. In verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, talking about the devil or the demon, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Now this would have been Simon Peter. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, just because I don't have time, I won't tell the mother-in-law joke right here. Peter is concerned for his wife's mother. The first man, we just know he had a demon. We don't know exactly what it was causing. In Peter's mother-in-law, she had a fever, and apparently it was a life-threatening condition. He needed a healer, and Jesus did. And then we come to verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they who had any sick with divers, that would be many diseases, brought them unto Jesus. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, a place where he could get away. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for there am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So we've got, three different episodes of healings. We have one man in particular. We have Peter's mother-in-law. And then we have multitudes and multitudes and maybe even more multitudes. But they all came to Jesus because they had a problem. And sometimes when we have problems, let me say it like this. Sometimes when I have problems, it causes me to get closer to Jesus. There are times in our lives that we pray for healing and it doesn't come. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It is not always God's will to heal us here on this earth. And you really can't read that in the scripture. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3 said, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we'll not bow down. John Hagee said, sometimes it takes more faith to accept God's no than it does to receive a miracle. And this is all easy for me to say as I'm recording this broadcast because I think I'm okay. I mean, I've got some problems, but I think I'm all right. There are others, though, maybe listening, that's not the case. That you want to be healed and you want to be healed desperately. And you know, friends, we just don't know if that's going to happen in this life. I believe God has the ability to heal, but I just don't. I don't know why he doesn't always. Well, maybe I do. Because ultimately, we've got to go to heaven at some point in time. The Bible does not say in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be healed. But what it does say is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in verse 9 it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. And if you are saved, then you know that ultimately one day you will be healed. Because when the trumpet sounds, or when your soul departs from the body, there is a place prepared for you by the great carpenter, by the great master, by the great physician, and you will be healed as well as saved. thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.